Okay, everyone, Tuesday the 19th of March, and this is the morning briefing from the Celtic Way with me, Hamish, Tony, and Kevin as well. Kevin's sporting the new Irish Origins gear, I see. Love to see it, Kevin.
If that doesn't confirm that Kevin's a Celtic da, nothing will ever.
Looks good though, from what I can see, it looks nice. How does it feel?
Aye, it's great. It's a serious bit of schmutter, I'd say. Like I walked into the Celtic shop last week to get gifts for my godson, and like as you always do with the Celtic shop, you walk in intending to buy a couple of things, and you walk out laden with stuff. And yeah, I quite like this. This stuff, lad. I don't normally buy loads of Celtic gear, but I thought I'll get something for wearing about the house. It's not the sort of thing I'd march down to the local co-op wearing, because you know, you just
no, well, it looks nice,
certainly not somebody my age, you know.
You don't have to justify your purchase, Kevin.
No. That's later on that we walked into co-op later, Kevin. We'll look forward to hearing about that. No, it looks good, and I like the range in general. I kind of started not liking it, and then I think Matt O'Reilly wearing one of the shirts, and Matt O'Reilly would make, you know, a bin bag look good, wouldn't he? But that kind of convinced me a little bit. So I'm kind of on the fence with regards to buying it. I just think personally bringing out five different shirts in one season is a little bit much, but you've got the hoodie on.
I mean, there's a lot of kind of talk about exploitation, and I completely get it. And you know, my first kind of thought when I see stuff like that is, oh, come on, Celtic, you know, you're squeezing every penny. And then I'm but I am not a soldier, like, you know, I'll go out, I kind of fall for it. You know, so I can't exactly judge anybody else or even judge Celtic, because, you know, they get me. They've got me. They know how to get to me.
Just when you, the Godfather in it, just when you think you're out, they drag you back in.
I know.
Al Pacino there.
Oh, we're going to have fun today, guys. I can tell already. Just a couple of things to get through before we get on to the proper Celtic chat. Thanks to our sponsors, MPH Boilers, who have recently become proud Celtic community partners. For all the Celtic fans listening, MPH Boilers is bringing you a special home cover plan offer. You can get comprehensive coverage for just 99p a month for the first 6 months. This includes everything from annual boiler service to full heating system, plumbing and gas supply pipe coverage. After the first 6 months, the plan upgrades to just £25 a month for the remaining 6 months, ensuring your home is always in top condition all year round. If you're interested, message MPH Boilers Facebook page and quote MPH Celtic, or call MPH Boilers on 0800 779 7778 and quote MPH Celtic. Fantastic way to support your home this year, and a big thanks to MPH Boilers for supporting the show and becoming a Celtic community partner. You can keep an eye out for their branding around the pitch. And I'll just get this up, Tony.
Yeah, guys, you don't realise how much sponsorship and your subscriptions are a vital part of what we do to keep this all going. Did we tell you that this is our best ever deal? Because it is. And we urge you to hit that subscribe button, guys. We thank everybody that's taken this up in the few days that it's been going. 6 months of access for £1. It's brilliant value. Plus that Kyogo Furuhashi print from renowned football atlas made by Frankie. It's worth it for that alone, guys. Just hit that subscribe button, www.celticway.co.uk/subscribe. And as we say, thank you to everybody who's taken that up. It's our best ever deal. And it's important and vital that you keep hitting that subscribe button to help us do what we do on a daily basis. And you'll see guys like Kevin every Tuesday, Hamish and myself and Ryan every day. But hey, thank you for that. Thanks for everybody so far who's taken that up.
Yes, perfect. Right, Brendan Rodgers has spoken a bit about Rio Hatate, and he has basically confirmed that Hatate is one of the players we're looking to get up to speed over the international break. bounce game has been mooted. You probably heard Brendan Rodgers talking about that. And he said, I quote, "We want to get minutes into Rio and push him on. We'll get some of the players working here, have a game, and get some of them up to speed." So I think, guys, Rio Hatate is going to play against Livingston. I'm not saying he's going to start, but I think he's going to make his return against Livingston, and I think he's a contender to start at Ibrox a week later. What's the thoughts, Kevin?
I'm less optimistic reading between Brendan Rodgers' comments about it. I just think if you're talking about getting minutes into him, bounce games, getting him up to speed, maybe he'll get a few minutes against Livingston, but you also have to factor in that that is one of the worst pitches in senior Scottish football, senior British football. And he's got, you know, even if Brendan thinks that he's ready for a substitute's appearance, he's got to also factor in not just the kind of way that Livingston play on their own pitch, but that pitch itself. And is it the right kind of place, the right surface to be introducing a player who hasn't played for a few months now? I don't know. I think if he does get significant game time in that match, then obviously he'll be a contender for Ibrox. I still a big if for me. I'd still say the wrong side of 50-50 for Rangers.
He seems excited, Brendan Rodgers, about Hatate, which I think is interesting. Tony, where do you come down on both the Livingston and the Rangers games?
I think he kind of needs to be there, doesn't he? And just for the fact that I think Rodgers has got a game plan. I've spoken about this already. I think he's already thinking about a game plan for Ibrox and how he's going to set up. I think Hatate's part of that. I agree that he might not start against Livingston, and it is a dreadful surface. But you pay your money, you take your choice. But I think Celtic fans would feel a lot more comfortable if Rio Hatate was fit and ready for Ibrox. And I think the manager is kind of, as you say, he's speaking about him in confident and glowing terms. So I think he actually is fit. He just needs now that match fitness that he's talking about. You know, because you wouldn't take any risk with him at all, would you? Let's be honest.
I hope so. I mean, the other option, of course, and this is probably what will happen, even if he was considered fit enough to start at Ibrox, is that he says to him, look, you're going to get 55 minutes, 60 minutes. And Rio Hatate, you know, even playing at three-quarter speed with that range of passing and his vision can do an awful lot of damage in 45 minutes, 55 minutes. You know, if Celtic want to kind of play in the front foot and pressurise Rangers at Ibrox, that, you know, the tone of the game will be set, as we know in these games, in the first half, in the first 20, 25 minutes. And I suppose Hatate, you know, can be crucial to that. Even if he's only, you know, at three quarters of his of fitness, just one pass, just his vision, it can turn the tide. We've seen it so often. We've seen it in games against Rangers.
It's no coincidence, I think, that because Kyogo's found a better form, that I think Brendan would want Hatate back in the team. Because those two, and that pair in particular, link up really well, Hamish. Mm-hmm. You go back to those League Cup final goals, especially the second one at Hampden, when he crossed it over for Kyogo to score, and you've seen goals like that aplenty from Kyogo. So, and I think Hatate could be vital in terms of supplying that kind of thing for Celtic in the next eight games as you count down to the finish of the season. So I'm really positive about it. I just don't want Celtic taking any unnecessary risk with him, but what a buzz it'll be just to see his name in the team sheet, either for both Livingston and Ibrox, wouldn't it? He would just be like, he would be absolutely buoyant and buzzing for that. So, and he'd be welcome back, wouldn't he? you know, get wee Ryan on here, he'll say he walks straight into the team. Ryan loves him, just official member of number one fan club, you know, so that's fair enough. But I think he's been, as the headline says, it's a perfect time for him to come back. He has been sadly missed, there's no doubt about it.
He means, for me, and I know we say this probably about a number of players, but for me, he is the most talented player in Scotland in terms of like looking at players and, in my opinion, what level they'll go to in their career. I think, you know, Reo Hatate has the highest ceiling. I think he could play for, you know, a lot of top clubs and top leagues in years to come. I think he's a terrific player. The question is, you know, how quickly can he hit that top level, having missed so much of the season? The reason I think there is a bit of a rush is that I think, for as positive as the weekend was, I still think there's an issue with legs in that midfield at the moment when you're missing Callum McGregor. You know, Bernardo and O'Reilly don't, and Iwata to an extent as well, don't really have the legs. And I feel like you want Hatate in there as soon as possible. A few people asking about McGregor. We don't really know the situation with Callum McGregor. It sounds to me, I don't know if you guys have heard differently, it sounds like he's kind of further behind than Hatate. And I think he might be a bit of a struggle for Ibrox. I've not heard anything. I just kind of get that impression from what I'm seeing. And for me, if we're without McGregor there, you know, you're probably looking at a midfield of Bernardo, Iwata, O'Reilly at Ibrox. I don't know if I'd be massively confident about, you know, the energy in there. That's why I think you want Hatate up to speed. But Kevin, as you say, you always want to like put the players, you know, health first as well, because you don't want to miss them for, you know, important games, you know, the rest of the season.
Yeah, that would normally be the case. But again, we've kind of, because of various issues that we've had off the park, on the park, which we've discussed ad nauseam here, this, you know, we put ourselves in this position where we don't really have the kind of luxury of too many options now, because we're a point ahead, but we're a game down to Rangers. So, yeah, you know, the manager has to factor that in. You know, I suspect if we were sitting 5 or 6 points ahead, and you've got two games against Rangers coming up, you're thinking, well, as long as he's fit for the second one. But we don't have that luxury. With Callum McGregor, you know, I just wonder if... I haven't heard anything on that front either, and my instinct's saying, yeah, he's not at such an advanced stage of recovery as Hatate is. On the other hand, though, you wonder if Brendan's also indulging a bit of kind of psychology here, because, as I've said before, my Rangers supporting friends fear Callum McGregor more than any other player since the days of Sutton and Larson. And you have to assume that the Rangers players do as well, because just his very presence in the midfield, he doesn't just dominate, he's got a dominating presence, and against those players. So you wonder if Brent, well, I suppose if I was in that position, if I thought he'd a chance to make it, I'd introduce as much doubt as possible right up until kickoff. And then the sight of him kind of coming out, shaking the hands, leading the team with the armband in his usual place, it was a great fillip to our own players and sows some seeds of doubt into the opposition, just because of the way he has commandeered these games in the last few years.
I thought Brendan said that he would assess him for the Livingston game. Yeah? Which means that if he's not fit for that, he would certainly be fit for the Rangers game. Because he said he had to do some work over the next 7 to 10 days, didn't he? So... I'd be pretty hopeful that he would be fit for, if he's not fit enough to play the full 90 at Livingston, maybe give him some part so that he's fit for Ibrox. But I was under that impression. But listen, it could be what Kevin says, the whole kind of codology part of it as well, the gamesmanship part of it might be that factor as well. Might go for the double whammy of Hatate and McGregor in that starting lineup for Ibrox, so that would give everybody a huge love, wouldn't it? So we shall see.
100%. I mean, I hope you're right. I just I think he's been more coy with McGregor than he has with Hatate, so we'll wait and see. But I'm kind of hoping to be, you know, surprised with regards to McGregor. Francis certainly thinks he'll be fit. He says confident of that. I don't believe the manager would say he would be back if he wasn't fit. I must say I'm kind of missed the comments where Roger said he would be back, but I miss a lot of things, guys. So don't worry about that. Right, we're playing Chelsea. We've announced we're playing Chelsea in the USA. July the 27th. That'll be fun, won't it? The final of three matches we're going to play in the States, Tony. Mm-hmm. You got anything to say today? A plea to get you to the States? I know you were jumping on that yesterday.
Yeah, just send me there. I wouldn't mind being there. That'll be great fun. Celtic Chelsea. I'm sure I was at a Celtic Chelsea match at Celtic Park in the 70s. I'm sure my old man took me. I think Celtic drew two each. Might have been a pre-season friendly. Kevin might remember, but I'm sure it was.
Yeah, we did play Chelsea in the late 70s at Celtic.
Yeah, late 70s, aye. So that would be one of the first games. But yeah, of course, that'll be fun. That'll be any game stateside for Celtic's great, but good glamorous opposition there, isn't it, Chelsea? So yeah, indeed, that'd be great.
Yeah, I remember going down to Stamford Bridge for a Chelsea Celtic friendly in circa 06.
Yeah.
And I remember, you know, without getting too into it, the EDL had a big influence at that game, and there was a lot of trouble at that game. I mean, Stamford Bridge wasn't full, but there was a lot of kind of trouble, a lot of people out for, you know, on their side out to cause carnage that night. It was 1-1 draw, I believe. I think we took the lead, and then maybe Gary Caldwell scored, and it finished 1-0. Any memories?
There was a competitive zone to that game, and also it was the days of either, you know, Jose Mourinho was either still managing them or he was. So
it was Balak and Shevchenko's first games at Stamford Bridge.
Yeah, they had you know, very powerful team, and you know, they weren't hanging about. The trouble was mainly before the game, because I think there were a few half-hearted attacks on pubs where Celtic fans were gathering. And yeah, there was a kind of an EDF element. So yeah, I think it'll be tasty. And it's a good to get three big games at that time in the States, where I know that Celtic are making a lot of effort to connect with their stateside supporters, but also spread the word, spread the gospel.
15th of August 1977, I was right, Celtic 2, Chelsea 2. Ronnie Glavin and Shuggy Edwardson scored. There you go, Ray Wilkins scored for Chelsea. See, there you go.
Well done.
Pick that out. That'd be one of my first games ever as a Celtic fan. My father took me to. There you go. Eh? Wow. I'd have been five years of age.
Two years later, we played the Chinese national team at Parkhead. Yep. It was an odd thing, Hamish, because the game hadn't really been trailed a great deal. My dad took me along. Celtic won 6-0. And there was about, you know, 25,000-26,000. And I remember saying to my dad, so how is that allowed? How does that work, that, you know, a club can play a national team? And because I think he said there were rules against that, even for friendlies. But, you know, it was odd. It was quite bizarre, because China was even more, there was more suspicion of China then than there is now, because of the, not just that it was a communist totalitarian regime, but it was just seen as even a degree even more mysterious than the Soviet communists. And then suddenly, you know, their national team pitches up in paradise, and it's, you know, it was all very jolly, handshakes, and nobody was really taking very seriously their ability to play football. But as with all other endeavours that China decides it's going to take seriously, they get up to speed pretty quickly and decide if it's worth getting up to speed for, we'll get there no matter what.
Fantastic. That's why we love a Tuesday, because we get information like that we wouldn't get on any other night.
We have a limp down amnesia lane. Sorry, a strong down memory lane. That was
fabulous. We've got a couple other games to be announced in the USA. I did spot, by the way, there could be nothing in this, but I did spot Man City are actually playing Chelsea in the States around the same time that we are there. So I wonder if one of the other games could be against Man City. Watch this space, perhaps. Have we seen this news about Craig Beattie, guys? Former Celtic striker, Craig Beattie, big Celtic figure, never celebrated scoring a winning goal against us by taking his top off and sprinting 50 yards around Hampden. Anyway, the reason I'm talking about him, he has been appointed as a liaison with club captains to provide feedback on the refereeing and VAR setup. He is set to start collating views in the next few weeks. It's hoped that results will be presented to the SFA before the season's end. Obviously, SFA head of referee operations Crawford Allen is going to leave his post as well, Tony. Bit of chat that there's been some pressure on him, and maybe the whole pursue new opportunities line isn't totally accurate. Have you been kind of following this upheaval at the SFA?
The conspiracy theorists were abounding yesterday, weren't they? Brendan and Rogers' lawyers had asked for the tapes from Tynecastle. They've mysteriously vanished. That's why Crawford Allen is now leaving his post. Believe, read into that what you will. It just seems a strange one. You know, the vote of no, get the dreaded vote of no confidence from the clubs, didn't he? I believe, and that's why he's leaving to pursue other opportunities. Yeah, it's a strange one, isn't it, that it's coming right beside Brendan Rodgers' hearing. We've timed it for then. There's something there, isn't there? There's something afoot. I think Crawford Allen, what, he got installed in 2020, didn't he?
Yes.
And I only ever heard him when he went mental about that Kyogo Hearts goal.
His Hearts.
That's the only time he ever put his head above the parapet.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm just like, what are you doing? And he went on national radio, quoted every media to tell you that it should have been flagged for offside. It's just like, seriously?
Strange.
It was a strange outburst from him, wasn't it? Craig Beattie's going to be a very busy man. If he's collecting information, then he'll be collecting information. It'll be longer than the Dead Sea Scrolls, won't it? I don't even know how long they are, but I'm assuming they're long, or the Magna Charta, as they say. But he'll never be out of job then, will he? Let's be honest. Because somebody somewhere will have a complaint about VAR in every game.
Yes, I know, it's a good gig to get if you're a former pro, because, you know, once, it's like the world of politics. Once you're on the gravy train, the executive establishment elite gravy train, that's you. You know, you've got a job for life. Doesn't matter if it's, you know, this current iteration last 2 years or 3 years, but that's him in. That's him in that hinterland, that terrain. And, you know, where you dream up jobs and you dream up responsibilities and you do reports and you do consultations with various kind of arm's length groups who can, you know, get quite a lot of money. And then you're talking about the Dead Sea Scrolls. And, you know, I think quite a lot, there's shelves heaving with reports and analyses of Scottish football, which will probably never be seen. And probably when the next time they are seen, it will be the same amount of time that took between the Dead Sea Scrolls getting buried and getting found. So, yeah, I mean, I you know, what's the purpose? What's the overall purpose? You know, are we going to get anything meaningful? Does he have resources? What do they want to change? It just seems rather a kind of amorphous to me. But fair play to him if he can get a job like that while he's still a fairly young man, then, you know, he's set up for life, because there'll always be some kind of job in the, some role in the gravy train.
Yeah, just for accuracy, I'm just, this only came out recently, I'm just reading a wee bit more as you were talking there, and it's the PFA, who are effectively going to canvas players and feed their thoughts back to the SFA on VAR. Apparently players have never been asked for their opinion on VAR since it came in, what, you know, a couple of years ago now. And Craig Beattie has been appointed as the liaison who will speak to club captains, and obviously club captains will kind of get the thoughts from their you know, fellow teammates. So is that, I mean, it's all well and good, you know, hearing what people have to say, Tony, but are the SFA going to change anything about VAR? You would hope so, but I've got my doubts.
You can have the thoughts all you want, Hamish. It ain't going to change results when VAR's been involved, is it?
Yeah. No, but even in the future, is it going to change? Like,
you know, I think everybody is of the same opinion with VAR. The technology's there. It's just no sure offer, isn't it? So, until you get to the crux and the nub of that problem, then you're never going to solve it. And Craig Beattie will, you know, see, he goes to Callum McGregor and says, what's your thoughts on VAR? And he turns and says, well, why was that penalty awarded at Tynecastle? It's no big deal, is it? He'll say, Callum McGregor wants to know why the penalty was awarded at Tynecastle. Here's why it was awarded. Off you pop. You know, but it's had a major effect on the outcome, the result of that football match. So, as you say, what exactly is that going to change? Yeah, you'll get footballers' thoughts on it, but until they get to the crux of the matter, which is the technology's there, it's just the people who are implementing it that are causing every conceivable misfortune with VAR or decision. And it's just the consistency of the decisions that are now being scrutinised with VAR. Yeah. And, you know, we've spoken about this before, and I spoke about the other week, about the marginals, and I said there's no club been shafted in terms of the marginals since VAR was introduced in Celtic. From day one, two of them went against
Celtic. Literally, yeah.
Literally, yeah, from day one.
Yeah, the Tynecastle 4-3 game was astonishingly bad.
And it's not got any better. And our job, or my job, is to watch Celtic on a weekly basis. So I'm cataloguing the marginals for Celtic. I'm not talking about any other team. I'm talking about Celtic. And it's been an incredible kind of set of decisions. You know, you know them all. We all know them. We've all seen them all. And there's been decisions that have affected other teams. But when you talk about Celtic, then yeah, I think in terms of decisions that are VAR influenced and marginals that have gone against Celtic, then they have to be top of that charts. And that's no paranoia. It's just fact. It's factual. It's just looking at the facts. And so, yeah, I think until we get to the, till we sort out that problem, that VAR, the technology is there, it's just those who are operating it that is the problem, and the biggest problem in Scottish football at the moment.
It's the clear and obvious thing. That for me is the big issue. It's VAR is only meant to come in at a clear and obvious error, and that is just not the case. It's so obviously not the case. VAR is interfering in far too much. Until that changes, I don't think VAR will genuinely improve, and I don't see what difference this makes. But maybe Kevin, the SFA are looking at doing things differently. They clearly realise that VAR as it is in Scottish football isn't working.
I'm not so sure. I think that, as I said, there's this kind of symbiotic relationship between the official bodies that represent the players, which represent the managers, and then there's the official, you know, the SFA, the SPL. And I think there's as any organisation in any sector likes to do, is to imply that, you know, there's kind of uniformity, that there's discussion, you know, that a wide diversity of voices and inputs are being considered. But as both of you have said, the crux of the matter with VAR, one, it's here to stay. It's not going to go at all. You might want to look at, you know, capping the amount of time it can take, you know, it takes, you know, to make a decision if VAR are involved. But as you said, a lot of the decisions that have gone against Celtic, including, well, most especially Jota's phantom goal with Motherwell, those two incidents at Tynecastle, the penalty that the foul against Turnbull in the last few minutes of the last game against Rangers at Parkhead, that penalty. I know VAR didn't get involved in that one at Parkhead. The last penalty at Tynecastle. We're not talking here about a clear and obvious error in any of those situations. Yeah. You know, the referee might have said, yeah, okay, he had a decision to make it, but there was certainly no instance where, like, two officials in VAR are thinking he's made a clear and obvious error. And again, you know, the other big elephant in the room is that it's not so much the decisions that go against us. It's the extent to which they don't appear to be equally applied elsewhere in similar situations. You know, and we've got our thoughts on that. We see carbon copies of similar situations happening with other clubs, where it's play on, or where VAR does come in, when it maybe ought to with us, when we've had penalties denied. I mean, I think there was a game against, was it Ross County? Or was it Dundee United last season at Parkhead?
Ross County. O'Reilly.
Bizarre.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of, you don't want, you know.
And Dundee United with Burnley.
Yeah. There was both of them. Both of them.
Right,
or so
again.
None of us, you know, we all pay good money to watch. You don't want to be going to a game wondering if the odds have been stacked against you because of, I call it what you like, unconscious bias. Because if we thought that was a factor, if we genuinely all thought seriously that was a significant factor in the way that games involving Celtic and their closest rivals are refereed, you know, the game's a bogey.
Both of those were, the referee was sent to the monitor, and both times he gave the penalty against Celtic, against Dundee United and against Ross County for both of those instances.
Yeah.
And then you talk about, if you go away, talk about another incident, then you talk about the goals and handball at Ibrox, where even the Celtic manager said people were conducting verbal gymnastics to tell you that it wasn't a penalty. In any game of football, it's a penalty, right? And I'm highlighting that one specifically because of the way, and, you know, so that was a decision that there was no explanation, or everybody tried to tell you all sorts of things, and you were just baffled by it. Because you were just like, well, how can that be a handball? And then Saturday as well,
there's a handball on the line.
So, you know, somebody has to come out and explain that as well, because that's a double whammy, because that's a red card as well, because it's a denial of a goal scoring opportunity.
And then, you know, and this season it could very well come down to goal difference.
It could.
So lack of consistency, that's the frustrating thing, guys. Yeah. That's at the root of you know, all our frustrations, is that one week something's given and then a week later it's not.
And then when a manager's coming out and telling you that games are being re-refereed, then you have to listen. And it's not just any old manager, it's Brendan Rodgers who's got a bit of skin and clout in the game. You know what I mean? So Yeah. I think when that's the biggest complaint, you know, you have to listen to that, don't you?
Yeah, indeed. Anyway, guys, I'm sure it's a topic we'll revisit. That's it for today. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. The live chat was very lively today. People chatting about all sorts in there, which I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing. But, yeah, thanks again, everyone. Just a little reminder before we go that we've got this offer going at the moment. 6 months of the Celtic Way for £1. You get a free Kyogo print from a renowned football artist made by Frankie as well. So, yeah. Check that out. Kevin, Tony, thanks for your time once again. We will return this time tomorrow.